Matthew chapter 18 that was read for us. Again, I really didn't know what to call the sermon, so I just put the word millstone on my paper. That's kind of where it stays. But again, as I said, April is Child Abuse and Domestic Abuse Awareness Month. And I thought that I'd go ahead and preach on it since we're doing stones in the Bible that are associated with Jesus. And Jesus definitely gave this teaching about a millstone and what you need to do with it in a particular occasion. Again, Mike has already read 7 of the verses that I've put up here for you. I'm going to read verses 8 and 9 later. But I wish you would go with me also to Mark chapter 10 and verse 13, please. Mark chapter 10, put your finger there in Matthew 18 and go over to Mark chapter 10. And we're going to read a couple verses over there before we have a word of prayer. Children are infinitely precious to Jesus. Look what he says in Mark 10:13. They brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Dear God, I pray that you might be with us as we look at this passage that Jesus has given us in Matthew 18 and also as we've looked there in Mark 10, that you love children. And Lord, you're sorely displeased that even when somebody just kind of takes the children and doesn't let them come to Jesus, how much more displeased would he be when people do what people do to children today in our society? Lord, I pray that you might help us to understand what this passage says. Lord, that we'd apply it to our lives. And Lord, that we would be those who train up children in the way they should go. And Lord, that we lead them to righteousness with every ounce of energy that we have. Lord, bless your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I went ahead and just very quickly got a few facts that are out there because of this being Child Abuse Awareness Month. Did you know that more than 5 children die each day because of abuse in the home? Did you know that? What astounds me is that there are different cases that reach our viewing area in TV, and you see different parents and different people being put on trial for the death of infants in the house. And again, so the numbers between 5 and 6 children will die today at the hands of abuse in a home. Isn't that absolutely horrible? Absolutely horrible. More than 3 women, I thought I'd throw this one up there, will die together today because of abuse in a home. That's terrible for a society like us that we kill those that we ought to be protecting. The other number that I have here is 6.2 million children will be abused and neglected this year in America. Okay? I tell people, I think that number may be low because some of these things go underreported, do they not? And yet 6.2 million children will be abused and neglected to the place where somebody should be criminally held responsible for it. 6.2. And then again, in 15.5 million households across America, children will witness violent acts in those homes. In the home, 15.5. These are not numbers that I created. I just went and looked up, you know, April 2015, Child Abuse Awareness, and it comes up to a website, and these numbers are just right there for anybody to pick up and look at. And so, again, violence in homes is going up. And the church shouldn't be silent. I shouldn't be silent. This church should not be silent on an epidemic like this. People need to know exactly where we stand on this. I don't know what you know. I know that a lot of you do know, but the laws of Pennsylvania have been changed this year. And those who work with children in any organization, can I just say that? Any organization, you have to go through now background checks. And if you know much about it, and I know some of you know more than I do, though I'm up on it, Again, there are three background checks that you have to go through if you work with children in any organization. Because of that, our church is being forced more and more into this, and we have to do it. If you're in our church, and you basically, here's the interpretation, you work with children, or you come in contact with them in some kind of ministry way, you're going to need these three background checks, okay? Now, don't get nervous. There's a couple of them that you can kind of waver out of, depending on how long you've lived in Pennsylvania, which a lot of you have lived here a long time. And again, we're getting ready for this. We're going to do it. We have to do it, okay? And so we're going to take care of it. One of the biggest issues, and we were with the senator the other day, and we asked the question, and we're still trying to figure it out. Once you get these background checks, the answer is, can you take them from one organization to another? We read the literature, and the literature says you can, and our senator says you can. Okay? And we were trying to tell the senator, yeah, but this is what it says. And he goes, I know, but when it was passed. And so we're hoping that the senator can get some things out there or whatever and get it done. But I was telling people that if you work for a baseball team, you need the checks. If you then go to a soccer season, you need the checks. If you then go play basketball, you need the checks. If you go to CCYC, you need the checks. If you work in your church, you need a check. If you volunteer at a school, you need the checks. Okay? Which means after a while, you're going to be paying $50 for every organization you work with. It's going to mount up real big time. Okay? What we're hoping for, and we put it in the senator's ear, and by the way, our senator's really a powerful guy. Did anybody know that? Okay, he's the Senate Majority Leader and the head of the Appropriations Committee. I like when my senator's really powerful. He said, I'll work on that for you. So we'll make sure he does. We're hoping that once you get your checks, you can carry them around with you. Once you get them done one time, you can do it. He said that's what they're working on. So I got Mike. Mike's backing me up because he did say it. But the literature doesn't look like you can, okay? But again, if somebody would say to me, well, Pastor, what do you think about this? Well, there are certain things to fight the government on. If the government is trying to help us be safer in our church, I don't think it's something to fight about. I think it's something to say, okay, we'd like to be safe here. And again, those who come to our church, when you put your children in our nurseries, you know that we have background our people and that we're safe. That's where I'm going to stand on it. We need to be safe, okay? There's other things to fight the government on, and by the way, I am, okay? From time to time, these congressmen come up with some crazy brain ideas, and I write to my senator, okay? And my senator, and I tell people, my senator knows me. You know that, don't you? I told you, I walked around Center Hall, Grange Fair, and my senator put his hand on the shoulder and said, hey, how you doing? And I go, I'm doing really good. He goes, I don't know your name, but I know who you are, okay? That's right, because I write your letters. I make phone calls, okay? And sometimes senators and people come up with harebrained ideas, and I let them know I don't like them. And our senator has been one of the better ones to like my ideas, okay, or where I stand on things. But again, we at the church this year, we're going to have to run these checks, okay? We're going to have to run checks, but we want to make sure that we maintain safety is what we have because it's become a huge problem. It's a huge problem, okay? Now, I don't know what you do or know whatever, but I've gone on the websites, and I've kind of GPSed the church to see where the closest sexual offenders are in relation to our church, okay? And I've got good news for you. There aren't any in the vicinity, okay? They're down there, and they're down there, but they're not up here, okay? So this vicinity up here is very safe according to the sexual offender registry and all that. We're safe here that nobody lives right next door to us that is on the registry, okay? But if you live down in Center Hall and if you live down in Pleasant Gap, can't say the same for you, okay? They live among us, okay? By the way, I also Googled the school, and there are two of them, I believe, that have property that butts right up to the side of the school. So we have their pictures posted in the school, and if we ever see these people on the property, they will be duly taken care of, okay? But you might want to check your house where you live. They're everywhere, folks. They're everywhere. They're just not up here on the mountain, praise the Lord, okay? But we've got a problem. We have a huge problem. It's an epidemic of people hurting children. And so I thought I would take this verse, do expository as best I can on what's going on here. There's three P's that will show up. Hopefully you'll pick them up as they come in the outline. If you don't, you just need to learn this, okay? Make sure we learn the principle. Now, the verse, the number five there is basically the verse that I'm getting the principle on. So I'm in Matthew 18 and verse 5. Here's the principle that I want us to get. Here's verse 5. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Now, again, this is a principle that I want us all to get a hold of. Again, meditate upon it, think about it, and this might change your life when it comes to certain areas of sin and things like this. I hope it does. Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. Now, I know this is on the positive, but I'm also going to look at it on the negative so we can understand that, okay? Watch this. I'm going to go to Zechariah 2:8. God said at the end of this verse about Israel, he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. God says, he that touches Israel touches the apple of my eye. Are you starting to get the principle here is? There are people, there's a nation, there are Christians that when you become saved and receive Jesus Christ, he comes into your heart. You become one with Christ. And if you touch one of Jesus's people, you are touching him. Do you get this? I hope we understand it. Again, if somebody say, well, why did you choose that verse there? Well, touching the apple of his eye. Okay. After I just talked to somebody in the lobby about why do you have a patch on your eye, not trying to bring you out, but sorry about that. But again, the eye is a very sensitive place, is it not? And to mess with somebody's eye is to mess with something that hurts and gets a reaction very quickly, does it not? Okay? Go ahead and hit me upside the head if you want. That's pretty hard. My eye's pretty delicate. And God said, you touch my people, you're messing with the apple of my eye. God doesn't like that at all. So again, basically the principle that I'm trying to give you is it's impossible to separate God from his people. Touch one of his people, you've touched him. Now, does that make sense to everybody? Now, it's positive and negative. Did you get that? It's positive and negative. You help one of his children by, and again, watch the words I use, but touching them, helping them, being a hand to them. You help a child, you're helping who? God. You hurt a child, you're hurting who? God. Watch out. And I think it goes more beyond just children. It's all of God's people there. I got a number of verses for you. Notice, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Folks, can you see that as a Christian, you are tied in real close to Jesus, and if you're tied real in close to Jesus, then you're tied in to God also. Am I right about that? Again, there is basically a huge connect between God and his people. Over in Luke 10:16, he that heareth you heareth me. He that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despises him that sent me. Okay? You want to touch God in a wrong way? Don't treat his children badly. Don't treat his children badly. You despise me, you despise him that sent me. That's what Jesus says. Other verse that I have, John 13:20. Verily, verily, I send you. He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Again, I'm just giving you a lot of verses. Folks, if you are God's children, you are tied in, again, to Jesus. And if you're tied in to Jesus, you're also tied in to God the Father. Again, John 14:20. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Okay? Kind of a confusing verse, but can I tell you something? Try to separate those three people. Okay? Now, I tell people, I love these verses for eternal security. Folks, I'm in Jesus. Jesus is in God. God, and we're tight, folks. We're tight. So that you can see this. So again, we've got good verses here. However, let's go to another verse that goes a little different way. This is when Paul was heading to Damascus. This is when he got saved. Watch this. When the question was asked of Saul, he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting who? Me. Paul wasn't beating up on God. He was beating up on Christians. You get the connection? You get the connection. And again, he heard him say, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And you don't hear Saul, Paul, arguing with God. Well, I'm not hurting you. He understood the connection. You mess with one of God's children, you're messing with God Himself there. Again, how close are we tied in? I put a few things up here. He's the vine. Somebody finish it. We're the branches. Okay, we're tied in there, are we not? We're the body. What's He? He's the head. He's the head, is He not? Again, He's the foundation. We're the building over in Ephesians, okay? Besides that, if He's the husband, we are the what? The bride of Christ. All the illustrations that I give you from the Bible see that, folks, we are tied in very closely here. And the principle that I want to make sure we understand here is that when we are looking at God's people, we're not looking at something that's tied separate from God. You're right there. And by the way, children. Children. I mean, that's God's favorite, is it not? For of such is the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, with this in mind, and again, there's all, again, this principle just goes a lot of different directions very quickly. Again, but when Paul is talking here about keeping yourself pure, again, morally, keeping yourself pure, why do you do that? Because of this principle. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make it the member of a harlot? What's the answer? God forbid! Yet who knows how many Christians, at the end of a day, you look at God and say, hey God, did you commit adultery today? And God's like, yeah, I did. Well God, how did you commit adultery? Because I got children down there who did it. And you know what? They're members with me. Wow. Wow, you took God to a bad place. You took God to a place He doesn't want to be, but because you are one of His, you took Him into a relationship that He should never have been involved in. Think about that next time. Think about that. Do I want to take God to this place? Do I want to take God to this act? Do I want to go to this website and expose God to what I'm about ready to look at? What's the answer? No, I don't. Because I'm members with Christ. Is it? Know ye not? I mean, Paul just says, do you not know this? You are members of Christ. Watch what you do as a Christian. Because you're taking Him places He shouldn't go. He shouldn't go. Again, make sure that we understand that this principle, and again, I'm trying to bring it down as best I can. Again, God cannot really be separated from His people. And when His people do something wrong, God is there. Again, children are God's people. So such is the kingdom of God. Again, when you look at a child, watch out who you're getting messed up with here. Watch out who you're getting messed up. Again, I just kind of put this. How you treat Christians is exactly how you treat Jesus Christ. You can't separate the two. Okay? That ought to happy us up. That ought to make us get kinder and nicer. Okay? I mean, if Jesus walked in here, how would you treat Him? If Jesus walked into this church this morning, how would you treat Him? Well, folks, He's here. How's He here? Because we're here as His children. You know? I tell people that ought to just have us treat people a little bit better is what all we ought to do there. Again, and I put down here, and that goes for whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. Okay? When you treat Christians, you're treating Jesus. That's how it goes there then. Again, here's a verse that I just couldn't leave out. This is a huge parable. It's a huge parable, Matthew 25, when basically God, in a judgment seat, stands before people and said, did you do this? You know, did you visit me when I was in prison? And they say, well, when would we have visited you? When would we have come seen you? And here's the verse. If you've done it unto one of these, the least my brethren, you've done it for me. And the other part goes true in this parable. If you didn't do it for one of these people, then what? You didn't do it for me. Again, we mean make sure, and I'm hammering the principle home. I'm basically done with it. Do you understand? Again, and I'm coming back to where I am with the child abuse awareness. Do you understand that when you're looking at children, you're not just messing with a child, you're messing with God Himself. You're messing with God Himself. Now, here's the part that I want to move from the principle to what the next P is. I think I've got it up here. The next one's the peril. So what if you mess with one of God's children? So what? What's going to happen? Okay. What did God say? I mean, go with me if you will. Matthew 18, 6-7. Are you there? if you are going to mess with one of these precious children of mine, that if you receive them, you receive me. If you hurt them, you hurt me. Notice, if you shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Did you get that? Woe unto the world because of offenses. Verse 7, for it must needs be the offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Now, I know that sometimes what happens is we read verses, and one of the things we want to do is we just want to kind of smooth it over. Folks, there is no smoothing this verse. You mess with a child, God says, it's better you just go ahead and take a millstone around your neck right now and go drown yourself in the sea. What's that mean? You don't want to meet God. You don't want to meet God after doing that. Now, I know all of a sudden people are going to come up here and, you know, people are going to have questions and all this. And I, folks, I don't want to smooth this over. People say, well, I'm a Christian and I mess with a child. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're not. Does that make sense to you? Don't. All of a sudden, well, I've got my eternal security to go or whatever. Really? I'm just saying this right here. This is a huge deal. Going after children. And God said, you know what? You go after one of these precious little ones of mine, it's better for you that a millstone be hung about your neck. You drowned in the sea. I'm not going to minimize that, folks. I'm not going to say, oh, but if you're a Christian, it'll be okay. I'm scared you're not. And I would probably stand up and say, Pastor, you're being a judge. No, I'm just trying to tell you what Jesus said. You give it to me differently, or where am I messing up? Where am I messing up? Children are precious to God, are they not? They're absolutely precious, and make sure that we don't do that. Again, make sure. Again, I just put down here, how do you offend a Christian? How do you offend a little one? Okay, I don't even want to get into it. I mean, what's the Bible say? There are things that people do in the dark and people do behind closed doors that it's a shame to even talk about those things in the light. Am I right about that? But people do to children. It'd be better for you than a millstone be hung around your neck. Okay? You'd be drowned in the sea. Now, I am not advocating vigilantism. You're with me. I got policemen here. Okay, I'm not. All right? I'm not saying, well, because they did so-and-so, this gives me the right. No, it doesn't. Okay, we have government authorities that handle those kinds of things. But I'm just here to tell you, you got some kind of crazy thought in your mind, you got some kind of vile thought in your mind, go put a millstone around your head and go drown yourself now. Don't mess with children. Don't do it. You don't even want to step in front of God before after that happens. God says, these are my little ones. They are precious to me. They are very precious to me. Again, notice, I put down here, it's the very opposite of verse 5, where you protect them, where you care for them, where you receive them as one who belongs to Jesus Christ. We step into verses 6 and 7, it's the very opposite. You don't care for them. You're not receiving them. The word used here is the word, who shall offend one of these? Who shall offend them? Again, this is huge. And they need to be protected, okay? We need to be protected. Again, as far as I'm interpreting this, I don't know. How do you tie a millstone around your neck and drop yourself in the middle of the sea and live through it? It sounds to me like it's pretty mortal, is it not? It'd be better for you to be dead, okay? Now, again, I just put right here, we just need to make sure that this is serious, folks. Our children are precious to God in infinite ways. Again, I don't know how to say things. Folks, they're children. They're children. Right? And I know that the world has just taken off in such a terrible way, and things aren't the way they used to be. Things aren't anywhere close to where they used to be. Folks, I remember that you could go to church, and there'd be a dear, precious man there or whatever, and he would have candy for children or whatever, and he would hide it in his pockets, and the children would have to go through his pockets to find the candy or whatever. We can't do that anymore. And by the way, that man that I'm talking about, there's nothing wrong with him. There was nothing wrong with him. He just had candy for children and he loved them. Can I tell you what? You know, it's kind of tough for somebody my age nowadays to pick up a child in the church. Am I right about that? Because everybody's going to think what? That's crazy. But that's the world we've gotten to, that it is so bad that a man my age picks up a child or something like that, all of a sudden we're thinking what? Must be something wrong with Gilbo. He's picking up children. Okay? That's where it's gotten. Folks, they're children. I'd love to love children. I'd love to hold them in my arms. I would. You got to watch yourself these days, do you not? Just because the world's taking such a bad turn. They're children. I just kind of wrote down here, they're children, they're weak, they're the lowly. Their own resources are limited. They're children, they're infants. Infants need care, they need protection, they need guarding. They don't need exposure to danger. Children are lowly, they're weak. They need to be cared for, they need to be protected. God expects that with His family. And we must never cause His children to be offended or to offend them. It's an enormous crime. Enormous. That's me just trying to talk. We've got to take care of children. Now, if somebody all of a sudden comes up and says, well, we want to do child abuse checks and background checks or whatever, okay. Okay. I'm not trying to get away from children. I still want to minister to them. Watch this. They need people like you and I. And all of a sudden somebody's, well, now you got to have background checks. Okay, then I'll do it because those children need me. They need me in a very special way to teach them about God and to lead them in the paths of righteousness, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'll do what I have to do. If you say I got to go get fingerprints, I'll go get my fingerprints. I'm not walking away from children. They need godly influences like you and me. And so we're going to have to do it. By the way, another thought, and while I'm on it, we'll just go the same way. Folks, I'm going to talk to the men now. They're women. Leave them alone. Hey, they're God's children. You mess with them, you're messing with God. Don't mess with them, okay? And again, this world has terrible thoughts about what we do to women now and how women are treated or whatever. Folks, I know I'll get in trouble with some women, not women in here, I hope, but doesn't the Bible say that they're the weaker vessel? Then folks, as men who are stronger, it's our job to protect them, not violate them. Am I right about that? It's our job to protect them, okay? As much as we can. So again, as we put it down here, and again, you got to watch yourself these days now all of a sudden, right? Yeah, you seen talking to a woman. Oh, pastor's having an affair. Talk to a woman. You got to watch yourself, don't you? Okay? But again, we got to take care of them, men. It's our job. Our homes have got to be safe. This church has got to be safe for women to be in. This church is going to be safe for children to be in. And whose job is it? It's the men's job. Okay? And yet, we're kind of the ones that are messing it up the biggest time, right? Don't mess up. Again, I'm done on that one, but again, let's protect people. Again, I just kind of did this. How do we do it? And this is something I can't talk about, but I'm just talking about directly. I mean, you directly go after a child to violate them, to hurt them, in some way sexually exploit them, and all these things. Again, don't do it. Go hang a millstone around your neck. Because you don't want to meet God. You don't want to meet God after violating one of His children. Don't do it. It's just an epidemic here that we have to watch out for. So, I do know that indirectly we can do things. I put a screen up here. And, Ephesians 6:4, bring them up in the nurture and instruction of God. But don't provoke your children to wrath. Okay? And again, if you truly love children and you're dealing with them from a Christian's perspective like you should, I think the things will be fine. I just put a list up here. I'm not preaching on it, but again, just brainstorming some things like this. You know, how do we exasperate our children? How do we I don't know, the word abuse them at times. There's just some things here that I said that maybe we're not treating them the way we ought to treat them or whatever. We're not treating them. And I'm not here to define every one of them. But I'm saying if you really love children like you're supposed to love them, okay, love them for who they are and the gift of God that He has given to you for these children or whatever, then a lot of these things on the list, you just won't do it, okay? You just won't do it. Can I say something here? And if you're not a parent yet and you think it's in your future, then pay attention and listen, okay? When you have children, life stops being about you. It stops being about you, okay? It all of a sudden becomes about what? The children. Okay? It just does. Life changes. It changes big time. Okay? All right? All of a sudden it changes big time. And you know what? priorities change, all of life just changes. Because now they're in your home. Now, I tell people, I don't know how long you're going to have them in your home. It used to be that they'd be in your house for 18 years and then they're gone, okay? Who knows? And I'm not saying that they have to leave at 18 or whatever. But, you know, you're given, and I'm going to use these words after not having children in the house. Now, my children are grown and gone, okay? But they're only there for a few short years. Am I right about that, some of you? And next thing you know, you turn around and guess what? They're gone. And I tell people, you turn around and all of a sudden you're looking up into their eyes. I found that to be true one day. Anybody else with me on that one? All of a sudden I turned around and said, whoa, he's bigger than I am. Okay? And then I was like, hey, you're not mad at me anything, are you? I treated you okay, didn't I? Okay? But they're only there for a few short years and then what? They're gone. And you know what? Those few short years that you have them there or whatever, you got to make sure that life takes a new meaning, then it's not about you. It's just not about you. And I look at this world, and you see families, you see the way the world is. Again, they're just not taking care of their children. They're just not taking care of their children. Folks, it's a lot of work. Can I do that? By the way, the other day I picked up my oldest grandson, and I was like, ooh, wow, where'd he get so big? Not only are my kids big, now my grandkids are getting big. Anybody with me? All of a sudden, they're big. Wow. And all of a sudden you're thinking, wow, one third of the time for him is already up. One third. He was just born the other day and one third's gone, you know, before he'll be moving out of the house. Again, take care of your children. Take care of them. Make them the focus of your life. Again, God gave them to you so you could give them back to him in good working order as children that will serve him. Again, I know some people don't like this, but one of the philosophies I used for raising my children was this, okay? Basically, it was to make sure I train my child so that they will grow up and leave me and serve Jesus without me. Somebody says, well, hey, what's child rearing in a nutshell for you? That was my child rearing, okay? Now, I know some of you say, what do you mean you trained up your child to, you know, I didn't tell them, hey, I can't wait till the day you get out of here, okay? I'm training you so you'll leave. Okay, I never did that, but the philosophy was I trained my child so they would leave me, okay? And they would go out and serve Jesus without me. And by the way, when that day that they left me, they were ready to leave me. They knew how to operate life, okay? They were ready to leave. They could operate life, you know? My wife and I didn't go, oh no, our daughter's going to leave us. I wonder if she's going to make it. We trained her to make it. I remember standing there, and the photographer asked me a crazy question when I was getting ready to walk my daughter down the aisle. He goes, any last words that you need to tell her before it's too late? And I said, nope. Nope. I've done my job. I wasn't perfect, but I did my job. And at this point in time, as we're getting ready to go down the aisle, I'm not thinking, oh, four more things before I... No, I did what I was supposed to do. I taught her a lot, okay? And then you get phone calls later. Dad, you never taught me. Well, sorry about that one. But I didn't have any last-minute advice. I'd done it. Took the time, okay? And, again, make sure that you give time to your children. Again, the other thing that I'll give you, again, besides directly harming them and indirectly, folks, watch your examples, okay? Watch, and again, I got words that we use or whatever. You know, we always say, you know, listen to what I say, not what I do. That don't make it. Okay? What'd somebody say? Your actions are speaking so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. What's the other one? Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. I got it right, didn't I? Folks, don't set a sinful example for your children. Okay? If they watch you, they ought to learn how to do it godly. And you know what? From time to time, that was the hard thing. Because it was easier to do it the bad way. It was easier to do it the bad way. Watch setting a sinful example. I'm going to put this up because I know I preached a lesson on this or whatever. Folks, don't abuse your Christian liberty around your children. Okay? There may be something that, yeah, I got the liberty to do it, but I'm not going to do it because I got kids. I got kids. I got children. And you know what? I'm not going to do it because I want to set a good example for my children, you know. And if somebody says to me, well, Pastor, why don't you? Because I got kids. That's the answer. The answer may be I have the liberty to do it. You read the pages from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, I could probably prove to you that I have the Christian liberty to do whatever you're ready to argue with me. But I got kids, so I don't. And I won't. Okay? Well, do you feel stifled? Okay, whatever you want me to think. No, life's good. So watch your example. And I think sometimes we lead kids astray by our sinful example. By, well, I'm an adult, I can do what I want. Don't. Set a Christian example for your kids. These are all sermons within themselves, are they not? I'm just able to hit them and move away from them, tap onto them, and get out as quick as I can. That's that. Again, now we're going to go negative for five. I think one of the ways that basically we can abuse our kids is we just fail them to lead them to righteousness. I mean, don't do the bad stuff, but let's be positive about what we're doing, okay? Again, I wanted to train up my children so they'd leave me. Don't concentrate on that part, okay? And by the way, for those of you who don't think your kids are leaving you, someday they will, okay? You know, and they're going to leave you. But the part was I wanted them to serve Jesus without me. That takes a lot of instruction. That takes a lot of work to lead them to righteousness. And I think sometimes Christians fall into trouble because we fail to lead people into righteousness. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm just going to do my own thing. What is this? You know, I want children to grow up and decide for themselves. I don't. Okay? I don't. I want children to follow my Jesus. I want to tell them about Jesus so that they would grow up and want to serve Him and want to follow Him. Now, I'm not standing up here, folks, and saying I'm the perfect parent. Did I have bumps in the road? Did we have bumps in the road? Did my kids have some bumps in the road? What's the answer? Yeah, we did. Okay? Yeah, we did. Okay? Some of the bumps were more than bumps. They were just big old bulwarks we ran into and smashed our noses into them. And we got over them. We got around them. We got through them. We worked hard. Okay? But you know what? I wanted to lead my children in righteousness. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of what? Of the Lord. I didn't want to just have a neutral house and then let them decide what they wanted to do on their own. Okay? I wrote this down. You're not stimulating someone else to righteousness. Instead of seducing people to sin, lead them to righteousness. Instead of causing them to be provoked and exasperated, cause them to be joyous and full of praise. Instead of setting an example to sin, set an example to holiness. Instead of misusing your liberty, use your liberty rightly so that they grow and are nurtured. Again, be the positive influence for Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do for our children. Folks, these are children. This is what they need. Okay? Dad, don't worry about being embarrassed about having devotions with your kids. Do it. Just do it. Read the Bible to your kids. If you say, well, it's hard to read the Bible, then I'll get you a Bible storybook. One of the things I tell people that's nice about this age is there is more literature out there for Christian families than there's ever been. It's everywhere. And if you say, well, Pastor, I don't know where to find it, I do. Okay? And we'll get stuff for you. There's book companies all over the place, people putting good stuff out every day. Read it to your children, okay? Read it to you. Again, if you haven't had children, okay, I'm going to give it to you. You ready? If you haven't had children, I'm going to give it to you. Have two. Not, folks, I'm kidding, okay? But this is why you have two, okay? When it's time to have them, all of these have three and four looking at me like, this is why you have two, okay? Because when it's time to have devotions, one reads the Bible, one reads the devotional book, one prays, and one picks the psalm. There's devotions for your family. Okay? How do I know it works? Well, I had two. So it works. What if we would have had three? We'd have found something else. Okay? But every day, each one of us had a job. Somebody picks the song, somebody does the praying, somebody reads the devotional book, and somebody reads the Bible. Works out real good. And you say, well, Pastor, I got six. Well, we'll find some more things for the kids to do. We'll keep them all busy in there. Okay, this one gets prayer requests A through H. This one gets I through. We'll do it. But I tell people, with four kids, we found a way to have devotions that each person had something to do. If you have one more, just give somebody a vacation day. Can you do that? That works, doesn't it? Be a positive influence for Jesus for your family. Folks, this is Jesus that just entered in your room. Now, let me stop here before I go on to the next thing. Can I just do this? Okay? For those of you that... And like I said, what did we say? Well, Rick Doherty's here somewhere. I think Rick Doherty's down there with children right now. Being a what? A positive influence. I don't want to leave his wife off. Being a positive influence. If you say, well, you know, half the services of the church, Pastor, I don't get to because I'm working with the children in the church. You're not just working with children in the church. Whoso receiveth one such little one in my name receiveth who? Folks, when you're downstairs and a little child walks in your room to be taught by you today, Jesus just walked in. Get busy. Jesus walked in. Somebody said, well, where'd you go? Well, I went to church. What'd you do? I was with Jesus the whole time. Well, did you hear the sermon? Nope, didn't hear the sermon. I was downstairs in junior church. But I was with Jesus the whole time. Because one who receives that little one in my name, he receives me. Folks, this gives children's ministry a whole bigger value. Oh, I'm in the nursery today. No, I get to be in the nursery today because Jesus is coming through the door. You receive a little one, you receive me. Everybody see that? Somebody says, well, where did the biggest blessings come from? They may not come in this room right here because all you get to do is hear me yell. You get out there and be with somebody else, you're receiving Jesus. God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of you. So I know where I am. I got a principle. You don't separate Jesus from his children, folks. And the peril is if you want to mess with one of them, you'd be better to tie a millstone about your neck because you do not want to meet God. You don't want to meet God, okay? It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the what? The judgment. You better watch yourselves. You better be here to help children. Watch this then. I think we got the next one. See if I've got it named. I call it prevention. Prevention. If you're back in Matthew 18, we're going to read verses that Mike never read. Didn't want him to read them. Here's prevention. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed or halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Again, those are the verses I just read. We're not going to go to Matthew 5. It's the same principle, folks, where Jesus says, you know what? There are certain things, instead of doing them, you better do this. Instead of doing them, you better do this. It would be better for you to do this. Now, basically, you're saying, well, Pastor, what are you trying to give you here? What are you trying to give here? I think I've got it here. Whatever it takes for you to deal drastically with your sin, you do it. You deal with sin. You do what it takes in your life to keep your life holy. Do you hear that? I mean, the examples Jesus gave was what? Pretty drastic. That's why I'm going to use the word drastic. I'll use the word deal with it drastically. Well, Pastor, I have a problem with so-and-so. Then deal with it and deal with it drastically. And I don't know, somebody said to me, well, Pastor, I have a problem with pornography on my computer. Then break every computer you have and send it through the shredder and don't own one again. Pastor, that's kind of drastic. Really? I'd rather do that and cut my arm off. I'd rather do that and to cut my eye out. And yet that's what Jesus said to do. I just said shred your computer. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Well, Pastor, you're just getting legalistic. Call me what you want. Somebody gets drastic and we got to come up with names for them. Well, Pastor, I have a problem with so-and-so. Get drastic with it. What was it the man said one time? You know, I got saved and I used to be an alcoholic and now, you know, when I drive home, I go right by the bar where I used to drink and I have a huge trouble not going in. Preacher, what should I do? Preacher said, you need to find a new way home. Well, that could be 10 miles longer. That's better than cutting your eye out, cutting your arm off. That's what Jesus said to do if you're having problems with sin. Deal with sin drastically. I know we don't hear preaching like this, and maybe I don't do it enough. But folks, just don't live in sin and say there's nothing I can do about it. Yeah, there is something you can do about it. Deal with it in a drastic way. Maybe we need shotguns to blow up the computers. Maybe we need sledgehammers. I don't know. Let's start getting ahead of sin here on us and make sure we take care of it. Again, I put down here, deal drastically with your own sin. Put a watch over your eyes. Guard your hands and your feet, where they go and what they do. Be careful what you see. Take drastic measures. You'll never be able to keep from casting someone else to sin unless you're not sinning yourself. Kind of hard to keep somebody else from sin when you're in it yourself, right?
You want to lead somebody in righteousness and holiness? You want to lead a child in the way he's going? Well, you got to be going in the right way. Now, again, some of you know I preach a sermon. One of the sermons I preach, where's your feet? Where's your feet? About time to preach that one again? Enough of you said, I haven't heard that sermon. Maybe it's time to preach again. Where's your feet? What's the answer? Somebody tell me, what's the answer to the question today? Where's your feet? They're in church. I think all of you, the answer is they're in church right now. Where are your feet supposed to be? In church. Then you're doing great. But I tell you what, whenever you wake up one day and you look where your feet are and you decide my feet don't need to be here, then you get out of there. You get out of there. The 2x4 principles. Anybody know what the 2x4 principle is? 2 Timothy 2:22. 2x4. 2 Timothy 2:22. How many fours? How many twos did I give you? Four. The 2x4 principle. Flee youthful lust. You know what the 2x4 principle is? Run. You ever wake up and your feet aren't where they are supposed to be, you run and put them where they're supposed to be. Okay? You run them. By the way, almost every night of my life, do you know where my feet are supposed to be? At home. They're at home. I found out a whole lot a long time ago that I don't get, well, sometimes I do. I don't get in that much trouble at home. Yeah, I do, but. But it is awful hard to get into big trouble when you're at home. Am I right about that? Heard about a football player, 4 a.m. in a club. Duh. And somebody stabbed him. Really? 4 a.m. in a club and somebody stabbed you? What were you expecting? Okay. Come on. Nothing good ever happens after 10 o'clock, right? So go home. Maybe 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Go home. Deal. See, now I'm starting to tell people, this is drastic dealing with sin. Well, Pastor, I have a problem with so-and-so. Deal with it. Okay? Well, Pastor, you're talking about abusing children. You know what? You need to go on a diet. You need to go, I'm spiritual diet. You need to go on a devotion. You need to do Bible studies. You need to memorize verses so that you walk a holy life. That's what you need to do. Well, Pastor, it could be hard. Yeah. That's a whole lot easier than chopping your arm off, plucking your eye out. Deal drastic with sin. Okay? Because you know what? These children in front of us, they are ultimately precious to God. Again, what's 1 Corinthians 9:27 say? But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That's what Paul said. I think I have the paraphrase. Did I not put the paraphrase up here? I beat my body to bring it into subjection. I beat my body up. Well, Pastor, that's just me. That's just the inclinations I have. That's just the way I am. Yeah, you want me to beat it up if you're not going to do it? Come on. You just can't be that way. This is what we do. I beat my body up and I bring it into subjection. What's the rest of the verse say? Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be a what? A castaway. You know what? I want to live a holy life. I want to be something that guides people to righteousness. I want to be somebody that takes people to Jesus, not somebody that does it. Again, we've got to watch sin in our lives. Sin's not a big subject anymore. It's not. But we've got to get it out of our lives. Okay, I'm not here to define all the different things, but folks, when it comes to sin, we need to get it out of our lives. Okay? We need to get it out of our lives. If you're here today, there's just no way anybody in this church should ever abuse a child or hurt them in any way. You do what it takes so you don't. You get so close to God that He's got a control of your life that basically that you are His. And you'd never hurt a child. You'd never hurt. I'm done. I've yelled and hooted and hollered enough. The principle, every Christian's one with Christ. I'll tell you what, you look at a little child, you better see Jesus. You better see Jesus. And if you decide to do anything harmful to that child or whatever, you better say, you know what, I don't ever want to meet up with Jesus after what I just did. He said, you better throw a millstone around your neck. You better deal drastically with your sin. And I'm here to tell you, folks, this is a terrible thing, the plight that's just hit America, taken over. It's taken over churches, church. Okay, I'm not saying this church, but God help us that it never happens in this church that we abuse a child or whatever. But you see men being hauled into jail all the time, people in the priesthood, people in the... Folks, I'm not picking on the Catholic Church. Can I tell you something that breaks my heart? Independent, fundamental, Baptist preachers, I know more of them than I have fingers and toes that are in jail for messing with children. These are men that I used to go to Bible conferences with. These are men that I used to know, they're in jail for messing with children. They didn't deal drastically with something, okay? And by the way, You're saying, what are children? For some of these men, those children were 14, 15, and 16 years old. They maybe didn't look too much like children to those men, but they're children. They're children, and they're in jail right now. What, the biggest church in America? Biggest independent fundamental church in America? How many years ago was it? 3-4 years they hauled him out of the pulpit and threw him in jail, and he's still there, right? Okay. It was Jack Hiles' old church. His son-in-law. He's never getting out of church. He's never getting out of jail. Okay. Mount Union. That's not that far away, is it? Not that far away. Good man in Mount Union. He's never getting out of jail. Okay? These are men I went to Bible conferences with. Men, I read their sermons. They let sin get a hold of them. They didn't deal with it. It'd be better to put a millstone in my... Folks, I hope you understand that when you leave here and say, well, you know, when Pastor was done preaching, I don't know where he stands on this issue. I just couldn't read him this morning. Can anybody help me? Okay? Folks, now watch this, because I want to say this with all the sincerity of Christianity I can. I love children. Okay? Now, I know if you go out in the world and say that, everybody's going to think what? Okay. No. I love children. I've spent my time in a lot of youth groups. Some of you know that. You were in my youth groups or whatever. I've spent my life in nurseries, okay? I've spent my life in schools and academies, teaching children, young people, because I love them, okay? I love them. I wouldn't have put up with you if I didn't, okay? No, you guys were a lot of fun. You were. You are. But you understand what I'm saying. We have got to make sure we understand this principle. You're dealing with Christ here. And I don't want any of you to go out into eternity thinking you're saved and you mess with a child and all of a sudden you stand before God and he says, you know what? you didn't want this day to come. I told you to deal with your life and you didn't. Now you're going to deal with me. I don't think the fires of hell can be hot enough for people that mess with children. That's what I'm saying. And if you say, well, Pastor, are you saying that anybody mess with children is not saved? I don't know what I'm saying. But I do not want to violate these verses I read to you and go out and see God. I don't want to do that. We got to make sure we do it. What's the peril? If you offend a Christian, it'd be better for you to be drowned. Is that what the verse says? Don't do it. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Again, the price for doing that's too high. Don't mess with children. You love our children. You guide them to Jesus so that later in life, I love the song that the ladies played. I saw Jesus in you. They didn't see the devil in us. They saw Jesus. The price for doing that is high. Again, take drastic measures to deal with your own sin. Whatever you've got to do to make sure that you're so close to God. Because I mentioned all those men that they're in prison, and you say, well, Pastor, you're really harping on them. Watch this, folks. I'm only one temptation away from them. Anybody with me on that? There, by the grace of God, go I. We've got to watch ourselves, take care of ourselves absolutely every day, okay, that we don't do this. This is Child Abuse Awareness Month. Folks, just because the month ends, we got to make sure we take care of ourselves every single day and we bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and that we can let them go serve Jesus without us. That's what we need to make sure we do. Again, I will end with this because I've kind of been, I don't know if I've been nasty, I don't think that's it or whatever. I believe that of many churches that I know, this is one of the churches that's the top of the list that has a heart for children. We really do. Okay? Doesn't mean we're doing all we can do, but we can always do more. But I tell people we don't just give our time, we also give our money to children, do we not? I love that we pay for youth camps. When the kids need to go to camp, we pay for youth camp. I love the Christian Education Aid Fund. I like things that we do for our children here. Again, we need to make sure that children are big around here. Now, here's the alternative. You ready for it? And I told you, I talked to a man a while ago. He was a youth Lutheran pastor, and he said, hey, I just got a question for you. Do you have any kids at your church? And I go, oh, yeah. He goes, we don't have any. We got none. Now, folks, I know what children do. They get underway. They're loud. They're noisy. They are. Okay? You ever get bothered by children? I wish they'd just be quiet. Can I tell you what's worse than loud children? No children. No children. I don't know. If my house the other day, it was just like chaos. It was just like chaos. I mean, 3 kids, 2 cats, me, just whatever. It was just like ultimate chaos around the house. And can we say something? I wouldn't have it any other way. What about you? Okay? I wouldn't have it any other way. And then when they leave, my wife and I kind of sit down and go like, so what do we do with our lives now? It's just you and me and kind of boring around here now. Okay? When's the next... Hey, Christy, I know you just left, but when are you coming back? Folks, kids got to be the lifeblood, because you know what? If we don't raise children for God for the next generation, we're only one generation from a godless America. Only one generation away. Make sure we deal with our sin. Father, I pray that you might help us to realize children are so precious. And Lord, in any way abusing them, Lord, you take that serious. And Lord, I pray that you'll make good on your warnings to those who mess with children. And Lord, you would mete out justice to those who need it. Lord, I pray you might help us to guard our lives, keep our lives, because there by the grace of God go we. But Lord, I ask that you would help us to continue to give our efforts, our time, our money to raise our children so that they'll carry the gospel into the world this next generation. Again, Lord, keep us safe here at the church. Keep away those who would hurt our children. But Lord, help us to do it because of eternal vigilance on our part, that we are ever watching our children and being protective of them and leading to you. Lord, I've said enough. Now you do the rest that needs to be done, Lord, because I'm very insufficient when it comes to this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.